Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome, 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 welcome to another episode of, excuse me, Why Don't I Just Get Started? I am your host, Robert Farrell, and it is November 13th, Sunday morning, about 7 o'clock. And this has been a tough week for America. This week, Donald Trump was elected as our 45th president. Now, I'd like to give a little text here. Every 4 years in America, there's an election, and every 4 years, it's usually between the Democrats and the Republicans. And then the Democrats are one of them wins, and life goes on. The contest is usually pretty contentious, pretty angry, and then it's over, and some people are disappointed, but life goes on. This time, however, it was different. Two candidates were running. One was Hillary Clinton, the wife of former President Bill Clinton, and the other was Donald Trump, the billionaire, the reality TV show star of a television show called The Apprentice. And he was the candidate for the Republicans. Most people felt that neither candidate was particularly wonderful, and it was the most contentious election I've ever seen in my life. Now, I am relatively young. My first election I participated in was in 1980 between Reagan and Carter. And these things are never easy. They're never fun. They're never peaceful. But they're still a necessary part of the process. But this election in particular was honestly the worst I've seen in my life. And it was bad for a lot of reasons. First of all, let's talk about Hillary, the woman who lost. Hillary Clinton has been in politics pretty much all of her adult life. As I said, her husband is former President Bill Clinton, who was a great president, but not a particularly great human being. He had a sexual affair with one of his interns. He was 55 or 56 at the time. She was about 20. And he used the power of his office to take advantage of a young girl, and he showed himself to not be a great person. Now, does that mean he was a bad president? No, as I said, he was a great president. He balanced our budget. We came out with a surplus. He did a lot of good things. Unfortunately, his moral failings created a huge opening for the Republican right to attack him. And in fact, they did indeed attack him. He was impeached. And while he wasn't kicked out of office, it was pretty much the business of the nation for a few weeks to focus on this impeachment. In the year 2000, George W. Bush, the son of President George H.W. Bush became president, and it's pretty fair argument that he won that election unfairly. And a big part of that happened because conservatives were so mobilized by Bill Clinton's affair that while I still think George W. Bush never honestly won, he had a chance, a better chance, because of Bill Clinton. Well, George W. Bush won. He was in office for 8 years, and that's when 9/11 happened, and the economy was destroyed. A lot of people were sent to their deaths in one of the wars, the war in Iraq, a country that did not attack us at 9/11, but it was just a horrible, difficult time. And 8 years ago, people were devastated. I mean, devastated, because the economy was bad. Everyone was just, all people were talking about was the economy. I myself almost lost my house. I know I got a huge reduction in hours. A lot of stuff happened, and it was bad. So then, in the year 2008, Barack Obama won, our first African American president, and over the years, things got better, a lot better. The economy's better. Gas prices are down. That may or may not have anything to do with Obama, but they're still about half the price they were 8 years ago. And we captured Osama bin Laden, the person behind the attacks of 9/11. And so we're living in a time of relative peace and prosperity. Now, I say relative because there are still problems, there are still struggles. It's not perfect. We have a lot of things, and we always have and always will. But we're far better off than we were 8 years ago. So you would think that, well, then we're just going to elect another Democrat to continue the policies of Barack Obama. Unfortunately, the person who was nominated was, as I said, Hillary Clinton. Besides all the problems her husband had, Hillary Clinton herself and with her husband have a lot of questionable issues around them. There's something, and I don't even know a lot about it specifically. I know there's something called the Clinton Foundation, which has been accused of it's a charitable foundation, and it's been accused of misdirecting money and doing some pretty awful things. There've been a lot of problems around Hillary Clinton. There have been these email things where apparently Hillary has been allowing private emails to be publicly accessed, and they were of a sensitive diplomatic or military nature. So there were some issues around Hillary Clinton, and they were pretty serious. Were they all true? I don't know. All we know is it's one of these he said, she said things, but we don't really know. Hillary Clinton fought for health care during her husband's administration, and Barack Obama was successful in getting health care for the country. His program has been problematic. I know people who have been put at a huge disadvantage because of that. So that program isn't perfect, but the idea that everyone should have health care really upsets a lot of people. And so that's an issue because of insurance and who pays for it and all of that. So there are a lot of issues going on, but Hillary Clinton was at best a questionable candidate and at worst very crooked and, well, very crooked. As a matter of fact, her opponent, Donald Trump, called her a crooked Hillary. Now let's talk about Donald Trump. All right, Donald Trump, also, there have been accusations against him, dishonesty, rape, bankruptcies. Yeah, the bankruptcies part actually is documented. And let me go into what's been seen. And this is the issue. This is the issue for me. I don't know how much truth there is to the accusations against Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, because so many of those discussions are he said, she said. But I do know how Trump has presented himself, and it has worried me very much. He's declared that he will build a wall and that Mexico will pay for it, a wall dividing the United States and Mexico. He's talked about deporting people. He's talked about grabbing women's private parts. He just comes across as arrogant and bullying and mean-spirited. And here's the worst thing, however you interpret him, the worst thing of all of this is this. Donald Trump has no political experience whatsoever. Literally none. And this needs to sink in. This needs to sink in. The political system, for better or worse, is very complex. It's very labyrinthine. It's very, I'm trying to think of the word, but it's complex. It's not simple. People say we live in a democracy. Well, we don't. We live in a bureaucracy, and we live in a socialist country, and we live in a bit of a dictatorship, and we live in a republic, most of all a republic, in which every American is supposed to be heard, and the majority of Americans are supposed to have their voices heard, and that doesn't always happen. But consider this, Donald Trump has literally no experience in government, nothing. Barack Obama, and people complain about this, Barack Obama had one term as a U.S. senator. And people said, well, he's not experienced enough. Well, look at Trump. Literally nothing. He's a TV star. He's a billionaire, a businessman, and that's it. He has no legal experience whatsoever. He's none whatsoever. He has no legal experience. And he is going to be president of the United States of America. He's the first president with no legal experience, no government experience, no military experience. He's the first president of the United States in the history of the United States who's never had any of those. None. And that needs to sink in, because here we have a man who has presented himself as a sexist, as a bully. He's made fun of the disabled. He's taken a threatening or aggressive posture towards other countries. He's alienated and offended his own party. And he has no political experience whatsoever. Just shocks me. And I want to talk about this shock because it's been a tough year or tough week for America. It's been a tough several months. Elections, by their nature, our exercises in aggression and anger. And as I said, this one's been particularly contentious and particularly divisive. This week, I had a Christian pastor say to me, "You're going to hell," and I'm glad because of how I voted. A theology student told me, "F you, go kill yourself." And these are Americans. These are fellow Americans who are, those two particularly, are Christians. And they're supposed to have the love of Jesus. And yet, that's the hatred I got from them. Imagine the hatred. And these are, one of those persons who said that was a good friend of mine. And someone I know, someone whom I confided in and who confided in me. And that was their response. People are saying horrible, horrible, horrible things to each other. And it's been a tough week. And it's been a tough week for the majority of Americans because Clinton actually won the popular vote. In other words, more Americans wanted Hillary Clinton to be president than Donald Trump, and yet Trump still won because of the Electoral College. So a lot of Americans are very upset. This was a shock. This was a huge thing for a lot of people, and people are scared. Mr. Trump has already announced his intention to appoint to the Environmental Protection Agency someone who does not believe in global warming. And so we're already seeing what's going to happen. Only hope, my only hope, is that everything Trump said with regard to his sexist comments, his racist comments, his making fun of the disabled, his desire to put Hillary in jail, everything he said, I am hoping, was political bluster. A lot of politicians puff out their chests and promise things that they can't possibly deliver in order to get elected. And my hope is that Trump will be gracious, he will be kind, he will consider all of America, and he will consider that the majority of Americans who voted did not vote for him. I remember once I had to give a seminar, and it was a job search seminar, and the group that came in did not want to be there. They were told they had to be there, and they were angry and resentful. I'll never forget this picture of this one woman staring at me with her arms folded, angry, and they were really, really unhappy. And they let me know, even though I did a good presentation. Matter of fact, I had done the same presentation three other times and got really great reviews. But this group was angry because they didn't want to be there. They were resentful because a choice had been forced upon them and they were unhappy. And I got a call from my boss the next day telling me how unhappy they were, and it was a bad experience for me. Well, this is how a lot of Americans feel right now. They've been forced into a situation that they want. And they're really angry and unhappy about it. For the first time in American history, besides having a president no professional qualifications, We also have rioting in the streets. All over America, people are rioting. They're protesting and rioting. Now, other than Abraham Lincoln, and that was a far more severe circumstance, we have never had people riot or protest at the outset of the presidential election. Trump has not even stepped into office yet. We still have about 2 months, and he hasn't done anything other than declare what he wants to do, or at least some of what he wants to do. But before that even happened, people were protesting in the streets. And yes, unfortunately, there were opportunists who took advantage of that and were rioting and looting and vandalizing. But the bigger issue is that people were protesting before Trump even started. My daughter's frightened. My daughter is gay, and she is very worried about conversion therapy, that is electric shock therapy, that will supposedly turn gay people into straight people. She's very frightened, and a lot of people are. They're frightened, and they're angry, and they're resentful, and it looks bad. It really looks bad, and for myself, I will say that I was in shock. I really couldn't believe that Trump was going to win. And I couldn't believe he did win. And I'm still in shock, honestly. I can't believe this happened to our country. But, like all things, we have to get past it. We have to get past the anger, the hatred, the bitterness, the divisiveness. Some people will say, well, I'm going to use that hatred and that anger to fuel action and make change. Well, I'm all for making change, but I'm not all for using hatred or bitterness or anger to fuel that change. I remember the moment I knew I was going to be a Democrat. There were two things. One, and this is rather superficial, but in 1980, I saw a commercial on television, and it was all these people of different ethnic groups, Hispanic, African-American, Asian, women, and all these people were saying, I'm the Democratic Party, I'm the Democratic Party, I'm the Democratic Party, or I'm a Democrat, or something like that. And I thought, well, that's what I want to be part of. I want to be part of a multicultural, multi-ethnic group. So that was a big turning point for me, or helping me understand what I wanted. But I was still young. I was only 20 at the time. So I still was immature in my thinking, and I didn't really understand a lot. But one night, I was looking at a textbook for a class I was actually teaching, and I don't remember even what the class was, but it listed all the legislation that had passed under Democratic and Republican administrations, and all the Republican administration legislation had to do with helping business, helping corporations, and all the Democratic legislation had to do with helping the environment, helping children, helping women, civil rights. And I knew then I'm gonna be Democrat, because that's what I believe in, those things. Now, I will say that not all Republicans and not all Democrats are consistent in the philosophy of their party. And I recognize that as well. But I'm more comfortable with the overall philosophy of the Democratic Party than the Republican Party, and so I vote Democrat. But going back to what do we do? What do we do? Well, as I said, we have to get past the anger, the bitterness, the shock, and people are just going to take whatever amount of time they need to take to get through that part. And it is, for many, like a death. It's a huge, huge shock. I've been in shock a few times in my life when somebody died whom I loved, or something, a relationship was ruptured, or somebody told me something that just completely surprised me, and it was usually a bad thing. And you can't even think straight. I remember one time I was told by a pastor that something I had said to someone else had really upset the other person, and that I had to go to the church the next day and kind of be disciplined. And I was just in shock. I felt horrible that I had hurt someone, and I felt horrible that the person didn't come to me and so we could straighten it out. And it was horrible. And it was just this shock. I kept thinking, this couldn't happen. This couldn't happen. This didn't happen. How did this happen? Another time I was fired from a job and I totally didn't expect it. And I remember thinking, how did this happen? I was at a Marx Brothers movie festival that night, the day I got fired. And I was still like, I couldn't even focus on the Marx Brothers because I was so, how did this happen? How did this happen? And that's the biggest part of shock, is the disbelief. You cannot believe this happened. So it's going to take some time for it to settle in and for us to realize it happened. We may not like it. We might be sad or scared or angry, but it happened. So what are we going to do? And the answer to me is peace. Now, I'm not talking about some sort of fantasy peace. And I'm not even talking about American unity. I'm talking about peace, inner peace. Each of us has to get peaceful within him or herself. We have to find a place to get peace for ourselves, not for the country, not for the world, not for our neighborhood or even our families, but for ourselves. The most important thing is peace. I need to find peace for myself. I need to find a way to work with my sadness and anger and shock and get to a place of personal peace. Because from there, I can start affecting change that I want for this country, for my world, for the family, for the community. I have to get peaceful myself. I have to let go of being right or being wrong or saying I told you so or name calling or whatever. I need to get peaceful. That's what I need to do. Because if I'm not peaceful, I'm just going to go out there with all the other angry people, and it's going to be like this room where everybody's in there yelling and yelling and yelling, and no one's being heard, no one's being understood, and everybody's walking away angry. I wish we lived in a world where these things didn't happen, but they do. And by these things, I mean shocks and disappointments. I wish we lived in a world where everyone could be happy, but we don't. But we can be peaceful. We can be peaceful, and then we can affect change that we want to see in the world and in our own lives. If I can't be peaceful, nothing can. If you need a coach, a mentor, a friend, a teacher, 619-672-0378. Have a great day and be peaceful.